I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie, and one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, 6:13. The weather is going to be interesting today. Rain comes in later on and then lasts through tomorrow. Then it cools off a lot for a while. So we'll have an update for you. Be aware of that, though. And if you see any weather anywhere that you think is of interest and you can safely text us, well, we always appreciate the information at 504-260-1870 because we can't be everywhere at every time. Neither can Ted Rossman, but he's here right now with us. Ted Rossman, Bankrate Senior Industry Analyst, to talk about 2026 and the Fed and mortgages and credit cards and savings rates, etc. Good morning, Ted. How are you?
Good morning. Doing well. Thank you.
I was talking about the weather. Why don't you give us a financial forecast?
Yeah, it's kind of fun to be in the prediction business here. You know, my expectation is that the Fed is going to cut three times this year, three quarter point cuts, which would be kind of a measured return to normal, if you will. As we know, rates went up a lot in 2022 and 23 in the effort to fight inflation. The Fed raised by 5.25 points back then. And then they cut by a point in 24. They cut by 0.75 point last year. I think we'll see another 0.75 point this year. So kind of the main message is that interest rates are continuing to drift downward, but it's been a much slower process on the way down than it was on the way up.
Why is that, Ted?
This sometimes happens with interest rates and also gas prices. There's a saying that prices can rise like a rocket and fall like a feather. Inflation did get pretty crazy for a while there, so that was why the Fed was pushing rates higher in quick succession. On the way down, they've been taking a slower route, really just trying to follow the data, make sure that inflation's coming down, and just giving more of a slow, measured reduction to the pace here. And that's actually an important point for this year, too, because there are some scenarios in which rates could fall a lot faster, but they wouldn't necessarily be seen as good news. One would be if the job market really took a turn for the worse and the Fed had to slash quickly, trying to ward off a recession, maybe. That was what we saw back during the financial crisis. It's what we saw during the pandemic. But those kind of quick drops usually suggest something bad has happened. There's also the political pressure on the Fed. I know that the president gets an opportunity to appoint a new Fed chair in the next few months. And while he is pushing for sharply lower rates, there are unintended consequences to going too much too fast. That can actually stoke inflation. It can lead to fears that the Fed is less independent. Oddly, even if the Fed were to dramatically lower short-term rates, that could actually push long-term rates higher, including mortgage rates, if there's a feeling that the Fed's not that serious about fighting inflation and it might make a comeback. That actually might push long-term rates higher in a weird way.
So for those of us that aren't Ted Rossmans, and let's face it, really, how many are there? Tell me the link between job market and interest rates, or the labor market and interest rates, and why one would affect the other.
The Fed has this dual mandate from Congress. They're supposed to promote maximum employment and stable prices. And moving the interest rate, essentially moving the price of money, is really the main tool at their disposal. So when inflation is high, they push interest rates higher. They're trying to slow the economy, basically hit the brakes, make it more expensive to borrow. That can actually slow the rate of change for prices. Now, on the other hand, if the job market's weakening, if they're trying to stimulate the economy and incentivize some borrowing on behalf of consumers and businesses, that would be a time to cut rates and basically make it cheaper to borrow and hope that more people start doing so and get the economy moving. There's also the so-called neutral rate, where interest rates are not really stimulating or restricting the economy. We're getting closer to that point. It's actually debated among economists and academics and policymakers where that neutral rate is, probably somewhere in the 2-3% range for the federal funds rate. We're kind of slowly getting back towards normal. But another interesting point here is just that interest rates have been abnormal for most of the last 15, even going on 20 years. So we had record low rates during the Great Recession, and then that persisted a lot of the 2010s, and then the pandemic was another shock. So it's been a while since we had a truly normal interest rate environment. We went from really low to really high, and we haven't had a lot of time in the middle.
So when you talk about the job market tanking, and I'm just saying, you know, for a phrase to use that, if that were to happen, they would lower interest rates to encourage people to take out credit. But are people taking out credit, and let me know if I'm overthinking this or not, would they then be borrowing money just to get by because inflation goes up, but prices generally don't. Once they go up, they stay there. So I guess what I'm saying is that basically giving consumers a shovel to dig the hole deeper, even though they need to dig the hole deeper in order to get the things they need?
Well, it's a good point that if we were to get a recession or some other economic calamity, that might necessitate lower rates, but it wouldn't really be a great time to buy a house or buy a car. I mean, some people would do it anyway, and there is kind of that K-shaped economy idea.
You know, you've read my mind because I was getting ready to ask you that. It all depends on what side of the K you're on, right?
Yeah, the rich get richer, the poor get poorer. I mean, some people say a recession is kind of like a garage sale for the rich and all these assets are on sale. Not that we want that scenario, and not that we're expecting that this year. We actually believe that the economy will remain relatively stable and that we will avoid a recession. So that's sort of the basis for the forecast that rates will come down slowly, not dramatically all at once. Right now, the federal funds rate is between 3.5% and 3.75%. It's expressed as a range, and this is basically what banks charge each other for loans, and then consumer loans are a few points higher than that, or depending on the product, sometimes more than a few points higher than that. So we're still probably a point and a half or so above neutral. There is still some room for interest rates to fall and not have a crisis kind of scenario. Like, in other words, the Fed is still restricting the economy a little bit just because inflation is not all the way down to the target. It's getting closer, but it's not quite there. The feeling is that there is some room to remove some of this restriction and take your foot off the brake a little bit without taking it off too much. Mm-hmm. There's very much an art to some of this policy that even more than science, it is a bit of an art sometimes as far as what's too much or what's too little. It's kind of a moving target for the Fed, and they like to follow data on jobs and inflation and other economic factors, realizing that there's a lag and there's some human error there.
You read my mind again, because when we come back, I'll ask you about that, it being an art, which lends itself to subjectivity, which means what is that based on? Is it gut feeling? Do they look at numbers and then say, well, yeah, but historically, maybe this, maybe that? Interesting conversation with Ted Rossman, Bankrate Senior Industry Analyst, looking ahead to 2026. I know a lot of people are texting and they want to know, when are the interest rates going to come down? When will it be a good time to buy a house? We'll talk about that as well. 621 Traffic Now, WWL. 628, call it, here on WWL. A couple of minutes left with Ted Rossman, Bankrate Senior Industry Analyst. So, Ted, for those thinking about buying a home in 2026, what can you say to them about the hopes of interest rates coming down? Is there an average mortgage rate now around the country, and are there opportunities for that to go lower?
There are. Right now, the average 30-year fixed mortgage rate is 6.25%, which already demonstrates some progress. A couple years ago, it was around 8%. Last year, it was around 7%. We have seen a drift downwards in mortgage rates. I expect further declines this year. We haven't been below 6% for that average since the summer of 2022. I believe that we will soon get there. Rates could fall as low as the mid-fives at times this year. It won't always be an even straight line, though. There'll be other times that rates are higher. I think mortgage rates will move kind of symmetrically around 6% this year, sometimes a little more, sometimes a little less. It depends on kind of which way the wind is blowing with respect to the economy and the Fed and jobs and inflation and all these factors. It is, though, starting to stimulate some buying activity. Rates are not going back to the generational lows that we saw 5 or 6 years ago when you could get a 3 or 4% mortgage. But going below 6 is an important barrier.
On the other side, if you're saving money and on the upper part of the K?
The best savings rates right now are in the mid-4s. Even though that'll decline a bit this year, we could be looking at upper 3s to around 4% by the end of the year. That's still pretty good for your sleep at night kind of money.
And credit cards, if you're using credit card as a method of borrowing, you're in the wrong business, correct?
Credit card rates are high, and they're going to stay high, unfortunately. Right now, the average is 19.7. Even if that falls to around 19% by the end of the year, it's still high. 19, 20, 21, you're kind of hardly noticing the difference there.
Thank you, Ted. Appreciate your time. Inside, as always, Ted Rossman, Bankrate Senior Industry Analyst. We'll take a break. Come back. Talk to Jeff Palermo about what's going on with them Tigers. Right now, time for WWL First News. And for that, we go to Ian Ozan. All right, he sets a tornado warning, not a watch, until 7:30 this morning. Thank you. We'll have any details if they become available or if there's anything else we need to tell you. But meanwhile, if you're in the Franklinton area extending into Mississippi, you are under tornado warning until 7:30, Ian, correct? Got you. Thank you. All right, Jeff, I'm sorry. Back to you. We just wanted to get that weather information out there.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah, great game, but now this means that Charlie Weiss, obviously the offensive coordinator for LSU, no longer has to do double duty. He gets to come back home during his new home, and they need him because LSU is trying to lock down this transfer portal class, and in particular, they're still really trying to find a quarterback. They're still looking, especially for a starting quarterback, because the portal window has been open now for a week. It opened last Friday. And you're still without a guy that you can point to as, hey, this guy's probably going to be our starter in 2026.
So Damon Williams, apparently now that soap opera has taken another turn. Now he says he is staying at Washington, right?
He is staying at Washington. There were statements released last night. It was quite a turn because, I mean, a lot of this has been a big, turn from one area to the next, right?
Soap opera. It's crazy.
Yeah, It really looked like Sam Leavitt was the guy. He spent a couple days on campus earlier this week. He's the quarterback from Arizona State. We talked a lot about him earlier in the week.
With the Liz Frank injury to the foot, just so people understand who we're talking about. Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah. He's got 2 years of eligibility, but would not be able to compete in the spring because of that. He's recovering from surgery to correct the Liz Frank injury. And he was on campus starting on Monday, was there all the way to Wednesday morning, but he kind of left abruptly on Wednesday when Damond Williams got into the transfer portal. Now, Damond Williams is an outstanding quarterback. Sam Leavitt is the number one quarterback in the transfer portal class. But Williams is a guy who threw for 3,000 yards last season. He's going to be ready for spring football. He enters the transfer portal, or he attempts to, or he announces that he is, but Washington refuses to put his name in the transfer portal because he had signed a revenue sharing agreement, and they were going to do whatever they could to enforce it. It looked like it was getting even worse yesterday for Damond Williams. His representative basically dropped him, said he's no longer representing him anymore. But then at about right before 7 o'clock last night, it was announced that he was staying at Washington. And according to Ross Dellinger for Yahoo Sports, if he went and signed somewhere else to play football, that school would owe Washington $4 million. Mm-hmm. Plus, then you'd have to have the NIL agreement with Damond Williams. So it just... It didn't work out, and it seemed like that was the guy that LSU had its eyes set on. And now, as I mentioned, we're a week into this thing, and you still don't have your main guy. It looks like Sam Leavitt, who's been at Tennessee ever since he left Baton Rouge, he could potentially sign there. There is Dylan Raiola, who's the quarterback at Nebraska, but he has received very little interest so far in the transfer portal. So now you're just – you don't have that guy that you can certainly look to and say, yep, this is our guy. This is going to be someone that the fan base is going to get really behind. So it is. It certainly has taken a big turn here, and we'll see how it goes. But I am a little bit stunned at this point, Tommy, that we're sitting here, because I think I was on with you last Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And said, you know, the quarterback is probably going to be one of the first guys they sign just because, you know, this is what you want to, as you go out and you recruit offensive linemen and wide receivers and running backs, you want to show everyone, hey, this is going to be our guy. Come play in this offense. But they still don't have that guy.
All right, let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back. Again, a tornado warning for Franklinton in the Mississippi until 7:30, a tornado warning. Be aware of that, and also when it comes to transfer portal, it gets a little bit more confusing because both Miami and Oregon are going to need quarterbacks, and from the supply side of that, you got to wonder who's waiting to see what happens with either one of these two programs before making a decision. More with Jeff Palermo when we come back, 6:52, 8 till 7, traffic now, WWL. All right, 6:57, Tommy Tucker, WWL, Katy Perry bringing us back from break. Who's in, who's out, who's hot, who's cold? I don't know, with this transfer portal. Jeff Palermo, our guest, WWL.com columnist, Louisiana Network News Director. Another kind of wild card in all of this, Jeff, is that Miami and Oregon are both going to be looking for quarterbacks themselves. And from the supply side of it, quarterbacks maybe like Leavitt could be waiting to see what happens there, or what? Take me through that part of it, the supply side of the quarterback thing.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. Because there was a lot of talk that with Damond Williams and with Sam Leavitt, especially Damond Williams, there was talk that maybe Oregon could potentially go after him, even though the Big Ten Conference was really fighting, was really going to sit there and support Washington. So it probably wouldn't have made sense for Damond Williams to go to Oregon if he was truly trying to get out of his revenue sharing agreement. Then you have Miami's, you know, Carson Beck. This is his final season. A lot of talk that Sam Leavitt or Miami that was going to try to go and get Sam Leavitt potentially, or at least bring him in But the fact that these two teams are now, we got three teams that are playing, it does, I think, hurt their chances as far as bringing in new players, especially high profile players like Sam Leavitt, because when Sam Leavitt's been visiting these campuses, he's been to Kentucky, LSU, Tennessee. He's spending more than 24 hours there at these places. So, and they're a little bit more worried about the college football playoff. But let's see. Maybe now that Miami's done with that game last night, they're going to have a couple days to decompress. Maybe now Sam Leavitt heads over to Miami and takes a visit there too.
There are more people on the team besides a quarterback. Quickly, who did LSU sign?
Well, yesterday was a good day as far as getting some linemen, defensive linemen. They certainly needed those types of guys last night. They ended up getting someone from Auburn, Malik Watson, who I think is someone that can come in and step in and play right away. They also ended up getting an edge rusher. And they're starting to build up a little bit on their offensive line. They ended up getting an offensive lineman. They actually got a couple yesterday, a junior college player, and then they also ended up getting a player who was at a MEAC school a MEAC school as well. So they're building this roster back up, but everybody's wondering who that quarterback's going to be.
Thank you, Jeff. Your year is going great already. Thank you, sir, for calling in. Michael Hecht, let's talk about the year past 2025. Scale of 1 to 10 in terms of economic development. What kind of year was it for the region?
You know, I think for the region on a scale of 1 to 10, Tommy, I'd give it a 7 or an 8. Mm-hmm. You know, when you look back on everything, despite all of the challenges and the tragic way the year started, we had some, I think we have enormous momentum coming out of the year. I think that's how I would talk about it.
You had what, that's Michael, again? How'd you say it?
What?
What did you say? I missed the way you said it.
Oh, no, I said that we had tremendous momentum.
Tremendous
coming
momentum.
Out of the
I thought you said something yes. else. I thought you said something that was kind of like more, I don't want to use the word oxymoron because it sounds pejorative, and I don't mean it to be that way, but I thought you were using a clever play on words. Tell me about...
Oh, no, too early for that, Tommy.
Tell me about building on the momentum. What are you looking for in 2026? What is GNO Inc. looking for? Because I got to believe, you know, with what's going to happen on Monday, there is a feeling of optimism for the city itself that I've not seen or felt in a long, long time.
Yeah, I think the feeling is that if you look at what's happening on the ground in terms of economic momentum, where there's tens of billions of dollars of projects in the pipeline, the last one we just announced was this $850 million deal for Element USA in St. John, St. James, where they're going to be taking waste product and extracting precious metals. And then you look at what we were able to do with the Super Bowl a year ago, where we were able to take care of, I don't know, Tommy, like a decade, I mean, a 10 years of deferred maintenance in about 6 to 9 months. And then you combine that now with a new attitude, a new focus, a new level of competency. And I think people are feeling that it's only upside from here. So I haven't felt this level of optimism, to be honest, Tommy, in a long time in the city and the region, and I think people are just kind of raring to go and to flip the script here.
If I'm talking to you next year, January 9th of 2027, what do you think the biggest accomplishments will have been for Mayor Moreno, the new council, the city, and the area?
I'd say three things. One, I think you're going to see a lot of very tangible, visible changes in the infrastructure. For example, all the lights are going to be on, all the street lights, all the traffic signals. That's going to be a visible sign of progress. Then there are going to be major projects like Charity, like the River District, like NSA, like Lindy Boggs, where they're going to be under a renovation. You're going to see dirt being turned. And I think finally, Tommy, you're just going to see an attitude like the paper said that we're on the rise. I think there's going to be a vibe shift.
It's hard not to be optimistic, I'll tell you that. Thank you, Michael Hecht. Appreciate it as always. Michael Hecht, President and CEO of GNO Inc. We'll take a break. We come back. We'll talk to Michelle Brignac Carr, Director of Jefferson Protection and Animal Services. Jefferson's broken ground on a new animal shelter, and we'll talk about what's going on there. Then we'll talk to Pat Conick, our friend, Louisiana State Senator. Third of West Bank restaurants sampled, found to be serving foreign shrimp without disclosing it. Shame on them. We'll talk about that and more when we come back. Right now, time for WWL First News. For that, we go to Ian Ozan. Your year is going great already. Thank you, sir, for calling in. Michael Hecht, let's talk about the year past 2025. Scale of 1 to 10 in terms of economic development. What kind of year was it for the region?
You know, I think for the region on a scale of 1 to 10, Tommy, I'd give it a 7 or an 8. Mm-hmm. You know, when you look back on everything, despite all of the challenges and the tragic way the year started, we had some, I think we have enormous momentum coming out of the year. I think that's how I would talk about it.
You had what, that's Michael, again? How'd you say it?
What?
What did you say? I missed the way you said it.
Oh, no, I said that we had tremendous momentum.
Tremendous
coming
momentum.
Out of the
I thought you said something else. I thought you said something that was kind of like more, I don't want to use the word oxymoron because it sounds pejorative, and I don't mean it to be that way, but I thought you were using a clever play on words. Tell me about...
Oh, no, too early for that, Tommy.
Tell me about building on the momentum. What are you looking for in 2026? What is GNO Inc. looking for? Because I got to believe, you know, with what's going to happen on Monday, there is a feeling of optimism for the city itself that I've not seen or felt in a long, long time.
Yeah, I think the feeling is that if you look at what's happening on the ground in terms of economic momentum, where there's tens of billions of dollars of projects in the pipeline, the last one we just announced was this $850 million deal for Element USA in St. John, St. James, where they're going to be taking waste product and extracting precious metals. And then you look at what we were able to do with the Super Bowl a year ago, where we were able to take care of, I don't know, Tommy, like a decade, I mean, a 10 years of deferred maintenance in about 6 to 9 months. And then you combine that now with a new attitude, a new focus, a new level of competency. And I think people are feeling that it's only upside from here. So I haven't felt this level of optimism, to be honest, Tommy, in a long time in the city and the region. And I think people are just kind of raring to go and to flip the script here.
If I'm talking to you next year, January 9th of 2027, what do you think the biggest accomplishments will have been for Mayor Moreno, the new council, the city, and the area?
I'd say three things. One, I think you're going to see a lot of very tangible, visible changes in the infrastructure. For example, all the lights are going to be on, all the street lights, all the traffic signals. That's going to be a visible sign of progress. Then there are going to be major projects like Charity, like the River District, like NSA, like Lindy Boggs, where they're going to be under a renovation. You're going to see dirt being turned. And I think finally, Tommy, you're just going to see an attitude, like the paper said, that we're on the rise. I think there's going to be a vibe shift.
It's hard not to be optimistic, I'll tell you that. Thank you, Michael Hecht. Appreciate it as always. Michael Hecht, President and CEO of GNO Inc. We'll take a break. We come back. We'll talk to Michelle Brignac Carr, Director of Jefferson Protection and Animal Services. Jefferson's broken ground on a new animal shelter, and we'll talk about what's going on there. Then we'll talk to Pat Conick, our friend, Louisiana State Senator. Third of West Bank restaurants sampled, found to be serving foreign shrimp without disclosing it. Shame on them. We'll talk about that and more when we come back. Right now, time for WWL First News. For that, we go to Ian Ozan. 7:46, 14 till 8. Got some weather moving into the area. The worst of it around noon to early tomorrow, and then talking to Dave over at the National Weather Service, I think overnight tonight, late tonight.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try Assemble and Bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. From roof repair to emergency plumbing and more, done well. So the next time you have a home project, leave it to the pros. Get started at Angie.com.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron and Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Tonight into early tomorrow morning is when you would have the highest possibility of any kind of street flooding or anything like that. And somebody texted and why don't they just clean the drains? Well, it's an ongoing effort, but you know, I don't know why people are surprised. We live in a bowl, and when it rains more than the pumps can handle, more than the drains can handle, we're going to have some street flooding. That's just the way it is, and it always has been living here. Let's talk to Michelle Carr, Brignac Carr, shall we? Director of Jefferson Protection and Animal Services. Some good news indeed. Good morning, Michelle. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great. How are you?
I am okay. Tell me about this new facility. It seems pretty nice.
Oh, yes. I mean, we have been waiting and waiting and waiting for this new facility. So we were super excited when the groundbreaking took place. And I mean, the rendering is beautiful. I cannot wait to see it in real life. We're just hoping this year goes by really fast. Cause it seems like, it's been a long time getting to this point. So, just a little bit longer.
So we keep telling. How long has it been since East Jefferson has had an animal shelter?
So when Ida hit in August 29 of 21, she took the East Bank, the former JPass / JPAWS with her. Mm-hmm. So, and the building was actually torn down at the end / beginning of 23. Yeah.
So what has been happening since then?
Well, we had evacuated the animals before Ida to the West Bank facility and then, of course, sent them out. So we didn't know what was going to happen to either one of the buildings, and we wanted to make sure everybody was safe. So we had actually evacuated all the animals that were in our care out of Jefferson Parish, so we were really lucky. but then after all was said and done, and we came out of emergency operations and we opened back up, we were running everything and have been running everything out of the West Bank facility. And what we've been figuring out, you know, what we started figuring out immediately was how were we going to continue to provide services to the East Bank citizens. And that was, you know, our primary, you know, concern on, you know, in the beginning, which was, you know, pop-up clinics and help. And then, of course, we've been doing door-to-door owner relinquishments and having officers assigned to the East Bank, just running point on any strays and that kind of thing. We did put a trailer at Lafreniere Park. We had attempted to have a temporary location in Fat City. And as we were working on that building, it continued to get vandalized repeatedly. It never worked out. So we abandoned that mission. And that's how we ended up at Lafreniere Park. And we've just kind of been piecemealing it together over this time, doing the best that we can to try to facilitate and help where we can.
Between now and you get the big giant scissors out and cut the ribbon to open the place, what kind of time frame are you looking at?
So it's supposed to be February of 2027, and so that's our goal, and we're going to push for it, stick to it, whatever needs to happen. We're just hoping that no major, you know, disasters or anything happens between now and then.
So what do you need from people between now and then? What can they do to get involved if they love animals and they want to help out the Jefferson situation in Jefferson Parish?
Foster, adopt, volunteer, advocate, network, literally, you know, let's just keep pushing. It's just a little bit longer. It's right around the corner. Just keep, you know, their finger on the pulse. And, you know, we have amped up services as far as, you know, we have a pet food pantry, you know, the clinic, you know, there will be a low-cost community clinic whenever the facility opens. So we are also going to be adding more services that will be provided that we know that the community wanted. So that did add a little bit to the timeline. We were very methodical in a lot of what will be going into the new building. But yes, definitely fostering, adopting, networking, advocating, helping the local rescues is extremely important. We've been trying to help, you know, with resources as well in that regard, you know, because they have actually felt the brunt of the loss on the East Bank as well.
All right. Thank you, Michelle. Is there one catch-all website people can go to? Volunteer, foster, everything?
Yes. Yeah, so they can either sign up on our website, which is the parish website. They would just go to the parish website and click on the JPOD link. And it will. There's a foster application, volunteer application, and it will come straight to us, and we can get everything started there. Or they can look at our Facebook page, our JPOD's Facebook page, which is Jefferson Protection and Animal Welfare Services.
Thank you, Michelle. Good luck. I appreciate your time and your efforts for all our furry little friends. The parish website is available to you 24/7. Obviously, 7:52. I'm running late here. Let's get to traffic on WWL. A-10 quickly to Senator Pat Connick, a patient Senator Pat Connick, fellow Shaw graduate. A third of West Bank restaurants sampled were found to be serving foreign shrimp without disclosing it, and that's not legal. How you doing, Senator Connick?
Doing great, Tommy. Good morning.
Good to talk to you. Tell me what's going on here with this seafood.
Now, I was pretty surprised to see that number. You know, we have passed laws, both in state and federal, to help the shrimp industry, and to see that people are still mislabeling and not telling the truth about what kind of shrimp they serve in the public is concerning. So we got to take a look at that in some coming session and get some enforcement.
I don't know what can you do other than increase fines or increase inspection? How would you attack this, Pat?
Yeah, they have the laws to enforce it. the law that went into effect in January last year, you know, required a 19-point font on the front of packaging, which identified the country of origin, and that's from the manufacturers. If you're going to package this the foreign shrimp and foreign crawfish, you have to put on the label at the bottom in 19-point font. I think that the font is called Arial Black. Mm-hmm. Where's it from? And if you don't do that, you're looking at a $15,000 fine, up to $50,000 fine. And then the restaurants that are not truthful about where the shrimp are coming from, they can be hit with a $200 fine to up to a $2,000 fine. So the fines are there. It's just that the enforcement is not. And that's what this story has brought to everybody's attention, that we got to talk to the Department of Health and say, get out there and go do your job.
And this can be easily determined, can it not?
Some way it can be. You know, if you go into the freezer of the establishment, mm-hmm. they have product of China, but then on the menu it says U.S. shrimp served. You know, that's a violation there. That's an easy way to catch it. I think that the story that came out was they do some DNA testing,
right?
That can show where it's coming from, and that takes a little more process than that. But yeah, it can be done. It can be. They can find out if you're not telling the truth, and they can hit you with a fine. And that need more of that.
But it's a small industry. It's a small world, and you would think that once a couple of people get popped with big fines, word would get around, wouldn't you think?
And I think once the law came out, there was a lot of compliance with it, but now that it's people, they're not getting hit with any fines, that they're getting more lax in what they're doing, and they want to sell some cheap imported shrimp and make a profit instead of the U.S. shrimp. Now, and on a federal level, this past summer, we raised the tariffs on shrimp from India, China, Indonesia, Vietnam, and Ecuador, you know, between 25% and 15%. So that has helped the industry to some extent, but people are still using cheap, farm-raised, imported shrimp and crawfish to get, you know, they package it as it's, you know, a product of Louisiana, a product of the U.S. Gulf, and that's not good.
You would think a tariff, man, would be the way out of that, where if you just put a 1,000% tariff on it, nobody could afford to bring them in.
Well, I think they hit them pretty hard. You know, China is at 20, India is at 25, and that was up from 10%. And so they feeling that pressure, and because of those tariffs, the imports have dropped to some extent. But the shrimpers are still getting low dockside pricing that's controlled. The local shrimpers are getting low dockside pricing that's controlled by a few companies. You know, you go out and you catch these big 16, 20 shrimp, and they're only getting $1.19, $1.25 at the dock when they're being sold for $6. So we've been doing what we can to help the shrimping industry. We have to do more, and I think the enforcement is the key there.
Yeah, Pat, you have to come back and talk about Hope Haven, because I know you're doing some good things there. We're out of time, but it's not only a health issue. It's not only an economic issue, but it's a cultural issue as well when it comes to these shrimp, and I appreciate your efforts. I really do.
All right, Tommy, thank you.
Thank you. We'll talk to you again soon. Pat Connick, Louisiana State Senator, and Mike Dettillier is going to talk some football when we come back on WWL. 8:17, anxious to talk some football with Mike Dettillier. How you doing, Michael?
I'm fine. Thank you, Tommy.
Did you see the game last night?
I sure did.
What
sure
a game. Did.
Man, you watch that and say, my goodness, Miami, they've come a long way, but you're so impressed with Trinidad Chambliss, mm-hmm. and what he means to that Ole Miss program. And never count him out. And, he almost pulled one out last night.
I get really some texts from people looking for pass interference on that Hail Mary. I don't know that I've ever seen a pass interference call on a Hail Mary, or if I ever will, unless it is, I don't know, unless somebody has a gun or it's blatant. You?
In that spot, they normally let them play. To me, just watch that play. That was a lot of hand fighting, but in a normal situation, you'd have probably had that pass interference call on that.
That's the point I'm making. Maybe earlier in the game it would have been a different thing, but not at that point. What do you see about tonight's game? It's a rematch. Indiana took care of Oregon earlier in the season, beat them by 10. They're a 3.5-point favorite, I think it is, tonight. How do you see this game, this one playing out?
I was shocked at that game first time. Mm-hmm. Because Indiana traveled, you know, from where they were to, and they went to Oregon and played. They beat them up. It was no beating. It was a beat up. The score was no indication of how dominant Indiana was in that game from the start to the finish. And I look at it, Indiana, yeah, they got the Heisman Trophy winner, but they are, Tommy, as fundamentally sound a team coaching-wise, and what they teach, as I've seen in a while. They rarely out of position on defense. They don't have what you want to call star players defensively, but they got great gap integrity against the run. They put pressure on the quarterback. They cover well. You know, when you got Mendoza and those really tall receivers, it's a matchup nightmare when you got to play them because of that. And they can run the football extremely well. So well coached. Kurt Cignetti has done a fantastic job there in piecing that Indiana team together. And, you know, we've all seen, I said this yesterday, we've all seen the movie Hoosiers with Gene Hackman. And, you know, he would always do that deal about team, team, team. That's what you're seeing in Indiana. Oregon, probably over the last 3 years, this is probably the most least talented Oregon team. Dante Moore is a really good football player. And if he this afternoon declared, I'm coming out for the draft, he'd either be the first or second pick overall. But, man, in the past, they've had some big-time weapons. Still have a some of that. On defenses where they may be not quite as good as we've seen in years past, I like Indiana in this game. I think, to be honest with you, they look like the best team in college football.
I wouldn't bet against them. I couldn't bet against them. I wouldn't allow myself to bet against them. It just seems like this is their year. We'll take a break, talk NFL playoffs. We come back with our buddy Mike Dettelier, 821. Traffic now, WWL. All right, 8:25, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking some football with Mike Dettelier. We all know who he is. Mike, they got six games this weekend, wild card weekend. Which one piques your interest most?
In the AFC, Buffalo, Jacksonville.
Okay.
Okay, for first time, Josh Allen, he doesn't have to look across the field and there's Joe Burrow or Lamar Jackson or Patrick Mahomes. The field is sort of clear for Buffalo, but their defense, I mean, is lousy. They can't stop the run at all. And they're playing now the hottest team in the AFC in Jacksonville. Jacksonville is averaging giving up 85 yards a game rushing. And they're only the third team since 2000 to not give up 75 yards or more to any running back. And we know, you know, with the Bills, yeah, Josh Allen's a great player, but James Cook is a big part of that. That, to me, is the most intriguing of the games because of Jacksonville. And I remember Mo Bud Pete Jenkins, 84 years old. He goes work with the Jacksonville Jaguars this summer, and he tells me, Mike, I'm telling you, the Jaguars defense is really good. They'll go as far as Trevor Lawrence takes them. This was in the first week in August, he tells me this. And look where they're at.
A lot of people were messing all over the Jaguars, too, early on.
He wasn't. Yeah. He got to see it, and he was like, man, they bad. They are really bad to the bone on defense. And he said, Trevor is going to be the key there. And then Saturday, certainly Packers, Bears. Those two games during the season were awesome to watch. You know, if you didn't have a dog in the hunt, so to speak, man, it was a great watch games between them. Now they play for a third time. The Packers have not won in a month. And the Bears, now with Caleb Williams and their ability to run the football, their defense is not real good. But, man, they come up with a ton of turnovers. that kind of flipped the field for Williams and company. So those are the two games for me. And I like the Bears in that game, and I like Jacksonville. Mm-hmm. To be honest, I think they pull it off in a spot where if Buffalo doesn't win, man, the owner there is not going to be too happy.
No.
And so you got a feeling somebody else might be unemployed.
Tell me about the Eagles and the 49ers. That one intrigues me.
49ers are a beat-up football team. They have been all year. Shanahan's done a fantastic job coaching that team. They've had eight starters lost to injury. That's a lot of starters out. And you play in the Eagles. I don't know which Eagle team I see each week. Their offense is awful. This is not the team of a year ago. But their defense keeps them in games. They got a pretty good kicking game there. I think the 49ers keep this close. The Eagles win, but, man, that's another kind of shaky situation there because it doesn't seem to be right. Something's wrong overall. They haven't had that many changes on that Eagles football team that you could see all this dysfunction. But they're not a really good football team on offense at all.
Aaron Rodgers advantage Steelers over the Texans? What do you think?
Man, Texans defense, it's as good as anybody's. I think they're the best defense in pro football. When you look at those two edges and Will Anderson and former LSU guy Danielle Hunter, and they got Stingley and Lassiter at corner, I think they take care of business against the Steelers.
It's going to be fun because they got three different speeds, don't they, Mike?
Fast, and real fast.
There you go. Mike Dettelier, thank you, sir. Appreciate
it. Thank you, brother.
You bet. A pleasure as always. We'll take a break, come back. We're going to talk about Mardi Gras since it's a short Mardi Gras season. And doubloons. Do you even bother to pick up doubloons anymore? And I'll tell you about a scam I pulled when I was in eighth grade. I shouldn't have done it, but I did it. And anyway, I'll tell you about a doubloon heist that I pulled. We'll take a break, come back right now. Time for WWL First News. For that, we go to Ian Ozan. 8:45, quarter till 9. We've been talking about some history this week as we begin the new year, and we're joined now by Molly Reed Cleaver, senior editor at the Historic New Orleans Collection. Good morning, Ms. Reed Cleaver. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you for having me.
Is
happy Carnival.
Happy Carnival and Happy New Year. Is it okay to call you Molly?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
All right, let's talk about the history of doubloon because so many times, and this is, I guess, what we kind of focus on, we're surrounded by so many things that we just take for granted, and we don't even realize how they came to be into existence. So tell me the story of the doubloon. At what point did people start throwing doubloons from Mardi Gras floats and people start picking them up?
Sure. It dates to a very precise year and a particular man. 1961 was the first year of the doubloon, and it was all the brainchild of an artist, Kentucky-born, New Orleans. You know, he had lived his adult life in New Orleans as a commercial artist, and he was sort of a jack of all trades. He had worked in the 30s and 40s as a commercial artist, doing paintings, etchings for hotels and buildings. He had a very interesting career, but he had also taught himself the art of intaglio graving, which is a very, you know, millennia old art form of making coins or medallions by engraving a die and then stamping metals from it. And he thought that aluminum, lightweight aluminum medallions, which he called doubloons, even though doubloons are traditionally, historically, a Spanish coin, he kind of applied that term to this commemorative medallion. And he tried selling it to various businesses, you know, as commemorative gifts, or to various, I don't know if he had pitched other carnival crews before, but he had been trying to sell this idea as a keepsake for several years and had gotten nowhere. And in 1960, he got connected with the School of Design, or REX, the REX organization, and said, I'm going to give it one last shot. And if nobody picks up on this, then I'll put this dream to bed. And so he pitched a senior official in the Rex organization, Darwin Fenner, on these keepsakes. And Fenner was interested, but he said, I don't know about tossing coins in people's faces. Isn't that going to hurt them? Mm-hmm. And he said, look, and he threw a handful in his face.
He really did that. That takes some doubloons to do that, I'll tell you that.
Oh man, this guy had chutzpah, and without any sort of pretense. He was just a very enthusiastic person, and right away the Rex organization said, this is great, let's do it. And
I gotta pause you for a second here. So you got a meeting with the leader of the Rex organization. And the leader says, isn't this going to hurt people? And he says, no. And you toss a handful of balloons into the face of the leader of the Rex organization. Yeah. For those people that are listening.
Hey, we know how Mardi Gras is. Huh? You know, you got to be watching out. We know stuff flies at you. And so he said, well, hey, I'm going to give you a proof of concept right here, right now.
For people that are potential salespeople out there. That's going for it. That's confidence in your product there, right?
He was ready to swing for the fences because he knew that if it didn't work out, he was just going to have to give up on this little pipe dream of his. But it was a success. Sharp said in an interview, you know, near the end of his life, that first Mardi Gras, he and his wife and daughter were watching from the Queen's Stand, which is, you know, downtown, near the end of the parade route. And word of these new throws started, you know, reaching the crowds even before the parade arrived. So people were excited about it. And very quickly after that first year, and HNOC has examples of that first doubloon that you can come see at our research center anytime. After that first year, doubloons took off. And not only that, this is what's really interesting to me, is that there were no signature throws before the doubloon. Zulu is sort of an exception because they threw coconuts, but they were not decorated or adorned or, you know, distinguished from year to year in the way that is standard now. Now it's just normal for all crews to have signature throws, many of them. They change from year to year, but that was not the case before doubloons. You had, you know, the glass beads and other trinkets, but they were not brandished with any sort of insignia particular to the crew. And Alvin Sharp, he invented that. So within, you know, immediately, other crews started adopting the doubloon idea. And this is very interesting. It sort of kicked off a whole interest nationwide in commemorative medallions. And so some listeners might remember that, you know, throughout the 60s and 70s, there were commercial mints that would produce souvenir medallions, and they typically operated with a subscription. And Alvin Sharp, he kicked all that into motion. So he's a great New Orleans character and also a great sort of character in the world of coin collecting.
All right, let me take a break. I want to pick it up here. When we come back, I want to talk about the historic New Orleans collection as well, because talk about one of those things that's around us that we don't always take advantage of. The historic New Orleans collection is certainly one of those. Molly Reed Cleaver is our guest. She's senior editor of the historic New Orleans collection. We're talking about the birth of the doubloon. And just when you think you've heard it all, last stop, Rex organization. Well, let's go for it. Let's see. You think it's going to hurt? Here you go. I'm going to throw a handful in your face. You tell me. 852, 8 till 9, traffic now, WWL. 856, Tommy Tucker, WWL. I don't know if H. Alvin Sharp was all of that, but he's the man that changed Mardi Gras and brought the Mardi Gras doubloon into existence. Molly Reed Cleaver is our guest, senior editor of the historic New Orleans collection. Molly, did he create anything else, or did he bring anything else to the Mardi Gras table, so to speak?
The doubloon was his one monumental contribution to Mardi Gras. Other than that, I don't know that we would remember him. As I said, he was a commercial artist who had success in the 30s and 40s, but he wasn't running in the artist set. He was a very modest man. When he won an art contest for a painting that he had done in, I think, 1940, they did a write-up in the paper, and he really was self-deprecating and said, well, I don't know if I'm worth all this fuss. You know, I have several more decades until I think I will be an artist of any repute. He was very unpretentious and extremely enthusiastic about learning lifelong. So he's a fascinating character, but if he had not invented the doubloon and made his stamp on Mardi Gras that way, I'm not sure that we would talk about him very much. Oh, another fun fact is that he did the murals at the Board of Trade building, 12 large murals that are all painted on the dome, and he didn't even get a chance to sign them because when he finished, they took the scaffolding down so quickly, he didn't have a chance to sign them, and so the city completely forgot about that contribution until 5 days before his death, they honored him. Someone put it together. This guy did these murals. We've never recognized him. And they had a little ceremony honoring him. And 5 days later, he died at the age of 71.
And ironically, if that had been today, the scaffolding would probably still be up. Let me talk quickly about the historic New Orleans collection, Molly, for people that don't understand what it is and how they can access it.
Yes, we are a museum, research center, and publisher right in the heart of the French Quarter, where our museum is located at 520 Royal Street, and it's free to the public Tuesday through Sunday. We have exhibitions, permanent exhibitions on the history of the French Quarter, so you'll see some Mardi Gras stuff in there. One on our coastal environment and coastal culture called Vanishing Bounty. And in March, we're going to have an immersive exhibition on the American Revolution. It's going to be an augmented reality exhibition. We had one similar to this using AR technology about Notre Dame. Some people might remember that show a few years back. And so that will be another really fun show. And in the fall, we're going to have a big exhibition and book about the one and only Bunny Matthews.
Wow. Awesome. I would imagine there's a...
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try Assemble and Bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. One thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. And for decades, Angie's helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. Get all your jobs done well at Angie.com.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts, Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Website?
Yes, it's hnoc.org. And a couple things carnival related. Today we are having a carnival kickoff.
Hang on,
party
Molly. Hang on.
Shop.
Hang on 1 second. Hang on.
All right. Thanks so much.
Appreciate it. You bet. Ian McNulty joins us now, who covers food and dining culture for the Times-Picayune, New Orleans Advocate. How you doing, Ian? Ian McNulty. There we are.
Yeah.
How you
there
doing?
There we are. Hey.
Hey.
Good. Happy New Year and
Happy New
carnival.
Year to you, sir, and happy carnival as well. How you been? What's going on?
I've been good. I've been a traveling man through the holidays, so I missed you last week and missed our audience, but glad to be back with you, and a lot to cover. I want to talk King Cakes. I want to talk about a couple restaurants that I've been to this week, and I also, you know, since we had a little drought with me being on the road, I want to make sure we have a little time for audience to kind of chime in with their questions. But first, I'm so glad that you had the Historic New Orleans collection on, Tommy. That is, let me just co-sign that for a second. That is such a gift. I've recently brought people there who are visiting from out of town. I learned a ton myself. And this King Cake thing they're doing is a great example of how I wanted to kick this off with you today. Because they're actually this week for 12th night, I went to a 12th night party down in the French Quarter at a friend's house who lives in the French Quarter, because it is still a neighborhood. And this friend, she collected a bunch of King Cakes from Historic New Orleans collection. She walked down the street and got a whole collection of them and brought them back. And what a great resource it was, because it puts all these different King Cakes from different vendors in one spot and kind of shop and put a variety out there on the table. And that's what people love to do. You have your favorite King Cake. You might be a dyed-in-the-wool Manny Randazzo fan, or you may be like, it's Dongfeng or nothing for me. But no matter what, you put some King Cakes in front of people, they want to sample, they want to compare, they want to talk about them. That's like the whole fever of the season right now. Mm-hmm. And Historic New Orleans Collection is doing that in the French Quarter. But there's others around town that have cropped up that are doing a similar thing too, these markets and sort of multi-vendor collections of things. And really, I mean, we're only, you know, check my math, 4 days into carnival season here, but like there is King Cake everywhere. And I mean, if you can't find a King Cake, it's probably creeping up right behind you, basically, is the story. I mean, the stuff is everywhere.
It was right behind me.
Look out. Yeah. Calories, empty calories. Talking.
Yes.
But they're not empty calories, Tommy. They were empty calories on January 5th, and they will be empty calories on Ash Wednesday. But in this brief window of carnival, they are culturally loaded calories. They feed your soul. They are part, King Cakes are part of this thing that makes carnival so special, and not just another festival or event or some production that other people put on and that you watch, which is fine in the typical mode of entertainment. But what makes it so special in New Orleans is the way that people participate in it, whether it's riding in a crew, going out to a parade and yelling and hollering, getting dressed up on Mardi Gras Day, or going out to a big fancy Lundi Gras luncheon, or just getting a King Cake on your way to the office, putting it out there, and briefly, for whatever window of time that is, creating a little carnival joy in that realm around the King Cake as people share it, talk about it, reminisce. That's the power of these things. That's why they're so special. That's why you really should keep them for carnival, even though plenty of places want to sell them to you for Christmas or for Easter or whatever. But keep it a carnival tradition, and it has more of that power, and it's not just a midday dessert, but something really special. And so, with the starting gun on January 6th this year, I took off after these things fast and furious. I actually put a story on NOLA.com that day of six different King Cakes that I tried, plus a cocktail by the end of it because, you know, Mardi Gras.
You had six different King Cakes in one day? Not the whole cake, but I mean a taste of six different ones?
And that's the spirit of what I'm talking about. No, king cake is better shared with other people, you know, especially a whole king cake. When a king cake gets into my hands, my mission is to see how quickly and how widely I can distribute it, you know, so it doesn't all ride on my waistline. Yeah, sure. wherever we put it. Seriously, that is the joy of it. You're sharing this thing. It's like the gift-giving season continues when you've got a king cake that you bring into a room. January 6th, I started early. I was a doorbuster over at Nolita, mm-hmm. which is a bakery over by Bayou St. John in Mid-City.
Yeah, let me slow you down a little bit. Tell me about that Nolita mm-hmm. king cake, because I hear a lot about that.
Oh, yes. Well, Nolita is only 2 years old as a bakery cafe. It opened on 12th Night 2 years ago. Not a coincidence. She is the baker, Martha. She made her name on her king cakes as sort of a pop-up vendor at King Cake Hub, a place I'll talk about in a second. She actually has a remarkable story. She had not too long before that been living under the bridge. Addiction had brought her pretty low. And I'm not spilling the beans here. This is a story that she shares mm-hmm. avidly as part of her her duty in recovery to share her story with others. She got herself straight. She went to Noki, the New Orleans Culinary Hospitality Institute, which is right by the interstate overpass where a lot of townhouse people live, and including herself for a bit. And she got a culinary degree and went into baking and developed a king cake and did pop-ups and had a following. And lo and behold, 2 years ago, she opened her own bakery cafe. I mean, it's a wonderful, heartwarming story. Mm-hmm. And the reason you've heard about the king cake, though, Tommy, is not because of that great story behind it. It's because it's a really good king cake. And if you are one of those people who king cake is the old McKenzie's, full stop, mm-hmm. the McKenzie's that you grew up with, you know, pre-2000s when we lost the original, you know, McKenzie's bake shops. This is a really good, close, not recreation, but tribute to it. Mm-hmm. It's not 100% that old McKenzie's. It's a little bit more modern. There's a little bit more flavor. There's a little zap of Satsuma running through the glaze. But in texture, fluffiness, I mean, it's a flavor memory bomb of that old style. I put it up there with Haido in Gretna with their plain king cake in terms of that, of channeling that particular, nope, this is the king cake I grew up with. This is what it should be. You can save the fireworks or someone else's cake.
Well, it's for a different kind of palate, right, Ian? Because you can appreciate with this kind of king cake, I'm looking at a picture of it here, the delicacy of the air that's baked into it, as silly as that might sound. It's not compacted. No. It's layers. It's an art to baking is what they do.
Absolutely. Yeah, it is fluffy. It is dying to be dunked in your coffee. It'll probably benefit from, you know, much like a Hugh Biggs pie, from an oh-so-brief, maybe 5 or 6 second zap in the microwave. It's a beautiful thing. It's simplicity in a box, and it's a delight to go there. And I was at 8 a.m. when she opened up, I joined. I think I was the number two person in line. The number three person was fast on my heels. And then I just watched as people came circulating through. It was fun. But no time to linger there. Cake in hand. I dashed over to King Cake Hub. This is a place you and I have talked about in previous seasons. Mm-hmm. It was created a few years ago. It's sort of the original place of this multi-vendor marketplace where you can go and get just all these different king cakes. It
started That's on South Broad, Cap?
No, it's not. The news here is that it's moved locations. It's had a few different locations through the year. Last year it was at Zony Mash Brewery. Mm-hmm. Zony Mash sadly closed over the summer. They're developing something else at that site now, sort of an indoor entertainment thing. But for this year, and hopefully years to come, because it's a delightful place, mm-hmm. King Cake Hub has a new home. It sounds a little obscure when I describe it, but you pass by it a million times. It's a warehouse in Mid-City. The address is 3300 Gravier Street, but really what it is, it's off the corner of Tulane and Norman Francis. So if you're coming over the Norman Francis overpass, you can see it. You can see the signs saying King Cake Hub, and you can see these signs around the intersections pointing your way. The Brown Derby soul food breakfast joint is on the corner there. So you go in a side street, follow the signs, and it's this warehouse where, actually, back in the day, Blue Oak Barbecue used to put on meal giveaways at this spot during the early days of the pandemic. That put it on the map for some people. El Wapo Bitters, a local cocktail accoutrements maker, has a home inside of it. So there's a lot going on there. But now Jennifer Samuels, Miss King Cake Hub herself, has created this fun house of just Mardi Gras vibes inside a portion of this warehouse. On the outside, it's just a parking lot and a warehouse wall with a banner, you know, purple, green, gold banner. Mm-hmm. You walk in, and it's like you're walking into this almost interactive Mardi Gras exhibit. It's like a Mardi Gras float that's sort of parked here and start dispensing king cakes. At least 15 different bakeries, and many of those bakeries are sending multiple cakes, so dozens and dozens of options. On 12th night, the day of Epiphany, people were loading up. I mean, a couple of people were leaving with one box. I saw the people just armfuls of boxes. I picked up one from NOCA, the New Orleans creative, the arts high school down mm-hmm. in the Bywater. They have an amazing king cake program. This year, the one that I tried first is a Dubai chocolate model. So that Dubai chocolate that you've seen everywhere, it's all very trendy.
The pistachio, the green.
The crunch. Yeah, they've rendered that into a king cake. It was absolutely terrific. And I got another different one. So I had a traditional one in hand, right? I had the Nolita McKenzie-style traditional king cake in hand. So then I get a Dubai chocolate one. And the next one I get is a Vietnamese-style, but not the Dong Phong you've heard of. This is from Mr. Bubbles, which is a banh mi shop with a location in Tarrytown and also on Canal Street downtown. Yeah, they're best known for their banh mi and their bubble teas. Terrific. Well, they make a king cake out of pandan and ube. Pandan is this green, sort of tropical, fresh green. If you've ever seen like green waffles at a Vietnamese street festival or even on a menu, that's pandan. It's a common flavor around Southeast Asia. Ube is purple yam. Mountain potato, whatever they call it. It has a couple of different names, but if you say ube, it's going to be purple. And so this cake is a swirl of purple and green under cream cheese icing with a baby riding on top.
You got NOCA. Let me interrupt for a second. You got NOCA and you got Mr. Bubbles at the King Cake Hub?
Yeah, that's right. Two of literally dozens of options that I could have picked up on this first stop. From there into Old Metairie, where I remembered, this is how your memory works. Like, oh, where can I get a next king cake? Haydell's, which is, of course, on Jefferson Highway, they keep a trailer on Metairie Road right by the Ridgeway Event Hall. And yep, lo and behold, first day of king cake season, there they were. I got a praline pecan king cake there from Haydell's, put that in the stack. Then from there, I needed something different. I've got two traditionals. I've got two kind of out of left field king cakes. But tradition means different things, including French tradition. So off to Celtica, the bakery in Lakeview, right up by the lakefront, in fact, on Allen Toussaint Boulevard. The guy who once ran La Boulangerie on Magazine Street before Donald Link and his crew took it over and put it into its new amazing era. Well, the founder of that, a Frenchman, started his own bakery, his own second bakery, called Celtica. And he's doing a very traditional, I can do this, French teacher, galette de bois, right? The traditional French king cake, flaky, layered, a burnished brown top, just gleaming, delicious, loaded with almond paste. So tasty, so different, but part of the whole king cake realm. And then, Tommy, we've got room for one more. And so this was a little later in the day by this point. This wasn't just one errand. I was dashing out, getting one, coming back, sampling them, taking pictures.
You got a tough life, Ian McNulty. I got to tell you, that's more than one human should be forced to do in one day. But go ahead.
It's no cakewalk, my friend. So from there, we talked about King Cake Hub. Well, I told you, there's more of these marketplaces now. A new one this year is called King Cake Headquarters. And this is a similar concept with two locations, the related restaurants, Central City Barbecue in Central City and Las Cruces Tex-Mex in Metairie, and about a dozen different bakeries all laid out at La Cruces. They turned the bar into a showplace of king cake. And guess what? The bar is still rolling. So after all that king cake, I picked up one from Antoine's, another classic model, and I got a frozen marg for the road to have at home while cutting into that king cake.
So Antoine's the bakery in Gretna?
Correct. Yeah, okay. Not the landmark French Creole restaurant, but the Gretna bakery. So, but yeah, remember that. If Las Cruces, you're going to pick up a king cake, you can also get, the restaurant's open, and so is the bar. Just saying.
I'll bet your car smells delicious.
It is basically sugar glazed at this point.
I would think so. All right, let me take a break. We'll pick it up here. We come back with Ian McNulty. Give us a text here, 504-260-1870. That's the O'Connor Jeweler Talking text line. If you got a question about eating or drinking or about king cakes or something you want to share about a good king cake that you've had, I'd love to hear from you. Back with Ian McNulty in a flash here on WWL. 9:32, quickly back to Ian McNulty, covers food and dining culture for the Times-Picayune, New Orleans Advocate. We've been talking king cakes, and rightfully so. Ian, somebody's looking for a place where they can go and have a slice of this, a slice of that, a slice of the other one, but I don't think that does it exist, or is it you buy the whole cake?
It's a whole cake kind of situation, although I will say I saw at there are places that will serve you a slice, but not. I've not found the place that's like an ice cream parlor of different slices from different places. That's something to organize with your friends. Frankly, that's something to get together and have a little party, and everyone brings one. I mean, that's the ideal way to do it.
Kinda, Tim tells me in my ear, go to somebody's house on Mardi Gras Day. There you go. There's your idea to get a slice of everything.
Although one idea right off the bat here is. King Cake Hub, they do have at least one of the bakeries does a combo box. So you can try four different flavors packed into one. And I believe that is Laurel Street Bakery that's doing that. So like they pre-make the boxes with four varieties tucked in there. So, you know, you're buying the whole cake, but you're getting four different flavors.
We got about 5 minutes left. I want you to make the most of your time just to give you that warning.
Okay, sure. Thanks.
Coaches, we got five minutes. 5 minutes, coaches.
I just wanted to shout out a couple places that I've been lately that are not king cake related. Mm-hmm. And I had a visitor from out of town, and you and I have talked about this before. The delight of showing somebody a restaurant that you're familiar with that they had no idea about. Mm-hmm. And you know, New Orleans is just so rich with this. And this particular one is Palm and Pine. It's this restaurant on Rampart Street. It's on the edge of the French Quarter. And this person was staying nearby and like, oh, the French Quarter. Sure, of course, I want to go there. And this restaurant is just so different. It feels so New Orleans, but in a modern way, not at all. You know you're in New Orleans because of the menu. But it is a little more globally informed kind of situation. It's very casual, very modern, very cool. But the food is off the charts. We had a fresh red bean dish. It was just fresh red beans, not cooked down, not stewed. I'd never had before, dressed up with all these other crunchy bits.
Were they crunchy, the beans?
No, they weren't. They were soft. They were fresh, but they were they weren't canned beans. They weren't stewed down beans. Just a delicious take on it. The barbecue shrimp had but lightly sauced, you know, not a little different from the traditional style, but you could really taste the fresh pop of that Gulf shrimp. A little bit of tropical running through it, great cocktails, and just this great New Orleans vibe of like, oh, this is modern, this is happening, what a cool, diverse clientele they've gathered here, just good feelings. And so I wanted to share that one, Palm and Pine on North Rampart Street. In the French Quarter. And then another one I just revisited last night. This is brand new. I just opened around Thanksgiving, and you're going to hear more about this place from me, but it's called Charmant. It's where MoFo used to be on City Park Avenue, right by City Park, across from Delgado. A couple opened it up. He's a chef. She runs the front of the house. If you're familiar with the old MoFo, this was the Vietnamese place, of course, that closed over the summer, sadly. The layout is the same. Nice big bar. In fact, we ate at the bar last night. Just a little kind of quick, casual weeknight date night. But it's set up like a upscale, casual European bistro. Definitely a French edge, but not traditional French like your Café Degas or something like that. It's open for brunch through the week. Has a nice happy hour, and I was really impressed with the dinner we had last night. Nice wine list. And a real standout last night were this pork chop just cooked with perfectly, just a perfect cook on it with a little bit of heat from this chili sauce. And then, believe it or not, the Brussels sprouts. I don't say Brussels sprouts very often. I think they're kind of overplayed these days. Mm-hmm. But the way they did them there with a spiced yogurt base and a bit of lima beans actually strewn throughout them and lots of Parmesan cheese, really kind of like, it made me look at a familiar dish in a new way again. So that one is Charmant's, like I said, brand spanking new, right by City Park, and a really good brunch daytime kind of spot. Especially, I don't know, it's a Friday and you're kicking off a little early and you're looking to have a glass of wine with your lunch or, a nice, easy, romantic dinner date at Nyland.
I'm looking at your story here at NOLA.com and I see the Hen House in Gretna. What is that?
Ah, the Hen House. If you're familiar with the Tartine King Cake, this King Cake is everywhere. And I'm so glad to see it because it really is one of my favorites.
What is that, the Tartine King Cake?
Tartine King Cake, it is, if you like traditional, but mm-hmm. with a little extra, maybe a bigger boned king cake, traditional king cake. It's hefty. It has a cream cheese filling that is, it looks like caramel when it comes out because of the brown sugar that's running through it. Mm. It is, it's a great king cake. It's like I say, it's traditional, but it's not your McKenzie's Nolita high dough kind of traditional. It's got a little more going on with it. Tommy, one time I was so impressed by the heft of this king cake that I stood on the scale without it, and then I stood on the scale with it. Needle moved significantly.
Really?
yes. Like a noticeable difference. This is a king cake that you can get at a lot of different places. Tartine is the name of the restaurant where it started. This is a great find way uptown by the river, by that Broadway Square development there. It's a little French bakery cafe that does a great kind of European-style breakfast. You really have to look for it. It's on a side street, totally hidden. But the Tartine King Cake has put it on the map. The same folks who run it, Evan and Kara, they also have Toast, which is a restaurant with a couple of different locations.
Same area,
in Chile.
Ian? Of Gretna?
Toast is in Gretna. It's also in the French Quarter and in Gentilly. This is a sister restaurant to Tartine. Same folks, different menu, different approach. But they also have, in Gretna, a place called the Hen House, which you mentioned. And 11 months out of the year, it is a very unique breakfast lunch cafe in that it is gluten-free. It's all gluten-free.
Hmm.
Except for 1 month when it is all gluten because it becomes the production facility for their king cake. And believe me, they do an incredibly deep dive on switching the place over when it's not king cake season to get back to their normal ways. But they go into overdrive there making king cakes for the Tartine brand, and you can find them at all the places I mentioned, Tartine restaurant, the Toast locations, the Hen House itself, but also those other places that we've talked about already in the show, King Cake Hub, King Cake Headquarters, some of the other multi-vendor markets that have popped up.
Real quick, somebody, go ahead.
Please.
No, finish.
If you haven't had that one, try the Tartine King Cake. It's delicious.
Somebody's looking for a savory recommendation for a savory King Cake.
Ooh, okay. If you like Boudin King Cake, we can do a whole different show on whether we're actually talking about King Cake or not, but just for the purposes of this request, the Boudin King Cake at Bywater Bakery is quite good if you want to, cross a King Cake with a stop at a Cajun gas station. And look out for this one. You can find it at King Cake Hub just because they have a lot of them there. LaVie and Rose is the name of the baker. She does really amazing king cakes on the sweet side of things. Mm-hmm. In fact, one of my favorites from last year. But she does a savory one, and it's filled with Vaucresson hot Creole sausage. That name should be familiar to you from Jazz Fest. Vaucresson Sausage Company is the longest-running vendor at Jazz Fest. They make the Creole hot sausage po' boys. You've had them at French Quarter Fest, too, and some of the other festivals. And she's turned them into a king cake.
So does that have a sweet side to it as well, offset the heat of the sausage or not?
No, sir. is it a king cake or is it a Creole hot sausage calzone? Like I said, we can devote a whole show to whether that is. But I'll just leave it at this. I love king cake. I love the traditional model of king cake. And I love all the different ways that it can go in the same way that I couldn't imagine carnival season without Rex, without Bacchus, without the pomp and circumstance, without the big established things. And I also really couldn't imagine it without wandering down Charter Street on Mardi Gras Day and seeing a gang of people who just started their own little marching crew. I couldn't imagine it without Crew de Vue. I couldn't imagine it without these little renegade groups out there doing all the stuff on the fringe. So tradition and improvisation, dancing together, that's carnival time in New Orleans, my friend, and
yes,
I think
sir.
That's the spirit of king cake these days.
One quick thing. Somebody's looking for a Rosca king cake, which is kind of like a Hispanic thing. It looks like a king cake, but it's kind of like a cross between that and a fruit cake almost.
Yeah, absolutely. They're all over Spain and lots of places in Latin America. If you think we're alone in king cakes, we are not. They're all over Europe. That's where the tradition came from. Go to anywhere in Spain this time of year. Every bakery has
anywhere closer.
Yes, you could try the Ideal marketplace closer to Spain. The Ideal, there are locations all over the place. They have great bakeries. That would be your most likely spot to find one off the shelf.
Ian McNulty, a pleasure as always, sir. Have a good week.
Absolutely, great to be back in the saddle with you. And cheers to everyone. Thanks, and have a great weekend.
Yes, sir. You too. Ian McNulty. We'll take a break, come back, get some weekend winners with my friend JR. Right now, 942 Traffic, WWL. Happy New Year, buddy. 946, 14 till 10. Good to talk to JR again after a holiday break. How you doing, JR?
I'm doing outstanding, Tommy. I hope you had a wonderful holiday like I did. Got to have all my kids in one spot at one time, so that was pretty awesome, man.
I did, but I missed you, and I missed talking to you about all the big games that were going on. Tell me your thoughts on the college football playoffs, and what are you liking, what are you not liking?
I mean, you really couldn't have asked for a more exciting game last night between Miami and Ole Miss. Went up and down, up and down. Bunch of lead changes. Even Ole Miss had a chance at the end of that game. It was really, really exciting. Now, look, I love tonight's matchup. We've loved it from day one. We are giving this out absolutely free, okay? Oregon, Indiana. This line opened up at Indiana -4. It's down to only -3.5. 13-0 Indiana taking on 11-1 Oregon, 5 against a 1 seed. Guys, it's free. I'm giving it to you. All you got to do is text the word WIN to the number 545454. We're going to hit you right back and give you the point spread winner of this Oregon-Indiana game for free. So again, text the word WIN. That's W-I-N to the number 545454, and you'll get this Oregon-Indiana point spread winner free of charge. You don't need a credit card, none of that. We're just giving you the game free via text message. Text WIN to 545454.
Not the end of football season. We get into the heart of football season, really. You got college basketball going as well. It doesn't matter what's being played. What matters is that, as far as your bankroll goes, that you're on the right side of this, and that is what you do for a living. Is it not, JR?
Yeah, no doubt about it. In fact, right now is by a long shot the best part of my year. And that's because, A, you got the NFL playoffs. I hit every single game in the NFL playoffs last year. The only game I lost, believe it or not, was the Super Bowl. We unfortunately had the wrong side. But hit every game throughout the entirety of the NFL playoffs. Now, also, we hit every game in the CFP last year with the exception of one game. Plus, college basketball, anyone that knows my company, you guys know I always talk about how college basketball is by far and wide the best time of year to really make money against the sports books. Last year, we hit 65.4% during college basketball, and my highest percentage is in conference play, which just started. So, I mean, look, this is, like I said, the best time of year. We've got college hoops, we've got the end of college football, and we've got the NFL playoffs, plus any one of my real clients know I'm killing it in the NHL as well. So do yourself a favor, text the word WIN to 545454, and I'm going to start you off with a big bang-up winner with the Oregon-Indiana game tonight.
Tell me about what's going on with the world of college, professional football playoffs. Who you liking, who you not liking?
I got to say, we had to make picks on my Bet Big Talk Loud podcast. If anyone hasn't checked it out, make sure you hop on, and wherever you get your podcast, check out Bet Big Talk Loud. I give out a free pick on there every week. We break down games. We talk about the playoffs, the college football, college basketball, you name it. Now, I had to give out, you know, anyone that knows me also knows I've been a Pittsburgh Steelers fan most of my life, but I don't allow that to get in the way of making money. So for me, the surprise in the AFC is going to be the Houston Texans. When you've got that kind of a defense, mm-hmm. I mean, this is a team that really can surprise everybody, go all the way. And I'm going all the way back over almost 20 years when, you know, Trent Dilfer won the Super Bowl, of course, with Brian Billick as his coach in Baltimore. And that was a big deal because that defense was really what won that Super Bowl for them. Now, I'm not saying that the Texans defense is that good, but man, oh man, number one in the NFL, and the offense has really started to giddy up as of late. So I'm going to take as a little bit of a long shot Houston to go to the Super Bowl. And in the NFC, I think it's either going to be one of two teams, but if I'm going to put it to one, I'm going to go with the L.A. Rams as the best team in the NFC. Hmm. Philadelphia's right there, of course, but I think it's going to come down to the Rams getting it done.
Be an interesting matchup. What about the game this weekend with Pittsburgh and Houston? You got a free pick for me?
On this matchup, just like what I was talking about, defense, right? Defense, right. defense. There's a reason why this is the only number that is less than 40 points during this first week of wild card playoffs. And there's just not going to be a lot of points scored. So go under 39.5. And let's face it, even the Pittsburgh defense over the last 5 weeks has been absolutely stout. They did let up some yards during their last game against Baltimore, but for the most part, really came together, playing at a high level, T.J. Watt, Highsmith, you name it. So really like the under, go under 39.5 in that Steeler-Houston game.
JR, again, a quick word about money management. I know you used to do this on Wall Street, and it's not a lot different because you're betting on futures and whether something's going to go up or go down. When people call the number and if they want to get a little bit involved, I know because I put up $5,000 of my own money and you've helped me shepherd that throughout the season. Tell me, in your own words, I can tell them what you get. You get JR's picks and he tells you when to act, and it's pretty quick. You got to be ready to take action because he waits till a lot of times all the information is available. But you also talk about units. Explain that concept, would you?
I do. And you know what? One of the main things that we do, obviously, is waiting for all of the information to come in. And a lot of times that's not until about an hour or two before game time before I'll actually give the green light and make my release. Sometimes it's multiple hours before, but usually about two and a half hours before game time, sometimes only an hour. And when it comes to what I'm asking you to bet, there's different strategies that I'll utilize throughout the year, which right now it is a unit strategy. So I'm telling players whether it be 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5 units to put on a game. And that unit could be whether it's $100, $500, $1,000, or $5,000. If your unit's $1,000 and I give you a 4-unit play, you're betting $4,000 on it. And that comes down to not only the strength of the game and the power in which we feel is behind it, but also the liquidity of that game. So, you know, a lot goes into what we do. There's a reason why my players get ahead. And the next 3 months, I have the nickname of Millionaire Maker. And that is the truth. We have multiple clients that I'll be making 7 figures over the next 3 months.
And, of course, college basketball season beginning, what is it, divisional play?
In conference play during college basketball, to me, is the most predictable and by far and wide the most profitable time of the season.
It was for me last year. Take us out, JR.
Look, this always comes down to one thing. Every player I deal with at one point called up and tried to get a free play, and we, of course, always give it to them, and normally that game comes in a really big way. So I'm telling you guys, I love this game tonight. Oregon taking on Indiana, line dropped from 4 down to -3.5 for Indiana. I'm going to let you know who's going to win and who's going to cover. It's absolutely free. Text the word WIN, W-I-N, to the number 545454, and you'll get this matchup free of charge. Again, text the word WIN, W-I-N, to the number 545454. Be sure to check out my podcast, Bet Big Talk Loud. Also, tune in for the one-hour radio show on the weekends. Guys, it is always a pleasure doing this with you. I hope I'm making everybody a ton of money. Be safe, have fun, and let's go out there and make some money.
Have a good weekend. Happy New Year.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.